closed her eyes, took out Yalaninka's ribbon from my bag, and without a moment's hesitation tied it around the girl's head. The Great One said that this was a gift for whomever I believed worthy of it. At first I wanted to give the ribbon to Anastaria, but the paladin already had many rare treasures. As for Barcina, I thought that with her deed the girl had proven herself quite sufficiently.
"Unbelievable," uttered Stacy, syllable by syllable. "The Great One's ribbon! Man, sometimes I want to nail you down so I can have a good dig through your bag so badly I can barely restrain myself."
"Then let's swap," I parried straight away. "I will give you complete access to my sack and properties, but then you, naturally, must do the same. I bet that picking through your properties would be easily as interesting as just watching you next to me."
"Could be. Could be."
Anastaria's face broke in a smile.
"I will consider your offer. Although, suggesting to a girl to appear practically naked before a man, even if she knows him quite well, is not worthy of a knight."
"When you dig up a knight, do let me know. I'll have a good look at him, at least. Barca," I turned to the girl,
"you deserve this gift. Wear it with honor.
Does this mean we've completely freed all the Patriarch's warriors?"
"Yes, enemy."
Instead of the dumbfounded druid, the next answer came from the vampire, who immediately began to command his forces.
"The first group, carry away the left side. The second, the right. The third, the center, and the torture room, where some of our brothers still remain. Quick, before Midial gets here."
After that he turned to me with a smirk.
"Your clan has fulfilled my condition, so I will tell the siren and my son of Garanika's source of power. After all, they are the ones who saved my warriors, while you, as befits an enemy, were sitting in the Greylands and awaiting revival."
"Oh, really?" The words of the Patriarch cut me. To be more exact, they enraged me and made my blood boil, causing me to completely lose my balance and, in general, turn off my brain. The parole conditions state that I can't attack NPCs and other players first, do they? Who cares? I'm going back to the mines anyway. What difference would one charge less or one charge more make? I wasn't in the least daunted by the Patriarch's 500 levels. I felt I could shred him with my bare hands right now.
"You shouldn't have said that, you crooked-toothed bastard. Defend yourself!" My vision was darkened with uncontained fury, and I headed straight for the Patriarch. I wanted only one thing— to catch this impudent traitor and tear him apart with my bare teeth, rip his throat out, and make sure his head landed straight in the refuse heap. Some messages were flashing in chat, but I ignored them. I was completely engulfed with rage. Nothing existed except for the smirking vampire, who was suddenly standing right by the castle wall, and the 30 meters lying between me and just retribution.
"Stand still, you coward! Fight me!" I growled in a terrible voice as the Patriarch shifted, lightning fast, to the opposite wall.
Another 100 meters? No matter. I'm not lazy. I'll take a walk. Although, why walk when I can fly? I picked the Patriarch as my target, pushed the ground away, and flew towards him. The ground sped under me as if I was on a griffin, but I couldn't be bothered to pay too much heed. I almost fell a few times, but then I unfurled my cape, which immediately lifted me back up.
"You're mocking me!"
This was no shout. This was a roar. The vampire evaded me again and immediately headed straight to the farthest wall of the castle. 500 meters! He's so damn fast. I'll never catch up. I had to think of something, otherwise I'd be chasing this bloodsucker to kingdom come. As I flew up, just as well the cloak did the job as wings, I once again saw the grinning patriarch. Now this really is strange. He's 500 meters away, but I can still see his sly mug. Should I fly there? I don't think so.
To me, slave!
After descending to the ground, I looked in the direction of the patriarch. Right now, I didn't have a shred of doubt that he would be unable to disobey my order. He had no choice. The order came from his master.
I, the patriarch of vampires of the Riordalox clan, said the satisfied-looking vampire solemnly when he appeared next to me and bent to his knees, swear a vassal's oath to the new lord. Now and henceforth, my life is in your paws and claws, and you are free to do with it as you please. I'm sorry, master, but after the siren's words, I had to follow the order of my former lord and provoke you to aggression. I understand that you are still young, but we cannot wait for you to reach level 100. There is just too much to be done right now. Feel free to take my life if that would placate you.
The patriarch bowed down and prostrated himself on the ground. I stepped forward and put my paw on his head. If I pressed it now, there would be one less vampire in Barleona. They are, of course, useful creatures, but they're too much hassle when it came to honor and duty.
Dragon!
Anastaria's voice came from somewhere to the side of me, snapping me out of my musings, whether to kill the patriarch or not.
How about you fight someone who didn't swear an oath to you?
I turned around and couldn't help hissing. A real siren was standing before me. She had a long tail like the Nagas, a beautiful bare body, covered only with shells on her chest, an enormous trident aimed at me, and cold blue eyes. One of my ancient enemies.
Man, snap out of it!
A bunch of tiny people appeared next to the siren. I'll have to squash them later.
Well, handsome, shall we dance?
Smiled the siren, and immediately attacked. The trident glinted a few millimeters from my eyes, leaving a painful scratch on my nose. This was just too much. I turned away from the patriarch, who was instantly joined by his uninitiated son, and focused on the siren. The enemy is fast and experienced, but she has nothing that could beat me, a dragon. I soared into the sky and planned to swoop down on top of the hated creature, when suddenly a mithril net sparkled and bound itself around my wings. That fiend! The subdued thump of my hulk hitting the ground was probably heard all the way to Dragonholm.
Stupid little lizard!
The siren walked up to me, chuckling. I tried to hit her with my tail, but got even more tangled in the net.
Did you really think that you would be able to best me just because you've sprouted some wings? Naive little kid. You will have much to learn before you can enter your second essence or learn how to retain your memory. So for now, we shall have to wait a bit and have a chat once things calm down a little. There are 3 minutes left, so stop wriggling already. You'll break your wings off, and then we won't hear the end of it. Fly still.
There was little I could do but give the siren a thoroughly hate-filled look.
Why aren't you finishing me off? It would be so easy to do right now. Just lift my head and plunge her trident into my soft neck. And that'd be it. That would end the dragon.
And in general, Anastaria looks somehow unpleasant in this guise. Compared to her unearthly beauty as a human, now the girl's face... And where are her brown eyes?
And I thought she was the most beautiful woman in the world.
Ah, Klutzer walked up to me with strangely thoughtful gaze. Why is he so weird and mysterious?
Damn, I was trying to take down the patriarch.
Have you recovered?
Asked Barcina with her slight lisp.
Can we untangle you or keep you lying down a bit longer?
Untangle, please, I mumbled, trying to understand what had just happened. As soon as the net fell off me and Eric gave me his hand to help me up, total message chaos appeared before my eyes.
You managed to attain your second nature. From this moment on, you have the ability to transform into a dragon. Transformation time, 5. Dragon rank, minutes. Number of transformations, dragon rank, per day. You must learn to control yourself in your new guise, otherwise you will be turned back into a human through divine intervention. A new additional stat has been unlocked for your character. Dragon rank, current value, 1. Your reputation with the vampires of Barleona has been changed to esteem. Your character's race has been updated. Current race, dragon.
Now I am no longer concerned for my son, smiled the patriarch, appearing next to me. Mayan, I've sworn an oath to you, and now none of Barleona's vampires will be able to harm you. Forgive me once again, but under Aranoxotelicus's orders, I had to provoke the uninitiated dragon, forcing him to reveal his nature. He foretold such an eventuality. At first I thought that he meant your totem, but now I can see that I was mistaken. Remain here with my son, and I will teach you the ability to open the door into the world of dragons. Everything I know of Guernica's power, I will pen down in a document today and send to the Emperor and the Dark Lord, with a note that it was you and your clan that helped me come to this decision. Guernica is pure evil, and he needs to be destroyed, so I cannot stand idly by.
How touching!
We were interrupted by an unpleasant, undulating voice coming from the biggest building in the castle.
A dragon! A siren! Vampires! One big happy family of near-extinct circus freaks! You dared to attack my castle. You dared to attack my master. You dared to free my slaves. Well, I may not have a single warrior left, but you will not leave this place alive.
As soon as the last word sounded in the air, dark shadows shot from the hands of 500-level Midial, the dark priest of the fallen, and sped towards us.
Damn! Looks like I'm getting sent for respawn today after all.
Chapter 13.
The Judgment of the Goddess.
And we were so close,
Anastaria managed to chuckle as the shadows sped towards us. I had neither the ability nor, strangely enough, any desire to try and defend myself from attacks of a 500-level mob. We've already done so much in the Dark Forest that now, when only one fight remained until the end of the scenario, there seemed little we could do other than give up. It was impossible to beat Midial with our group, and aside from myself, Anastaria could see this too, as she calmly watched the flying shadows. No commands, no bubble, nothing. The phantoms covered the remaining distance, tarrying a few meters away from us as if readying for a decisive strike, and then flew towards us like lightning. I readied myself for a wave of pain. My endurance still hadn't reached the necessary 500 points, after all. Almost feeling the shadows already cutting into me, so I instinctively closed my eyes. Reflexes. No getting around them. Boom!
Ding!
Crack!
Midial! Midial!
Instead of pain, there came a lingering and confident voice, which sounded so familiar. I opened my eyes and looked around. A golden dome appeared around us, against which the shadows were beating without causing us any harm. The Patriarch vanished into thin air, probably preferring to watch the duel from a distance than being part of it. And a few meters away from us, there stood Elizabeth, in full battle attire of the High Priestess.
As unbalanced and self-centered as I remember, time had not changed you at all.
High Priestess, spat out the fallen priest, and then a pleased smirk appeared on his face. So good of you to honor me with your presence. I had long wanted to thank you for allowing me to keep my position. This led to your successor sending me to the Dark Forest. Only thanks to this did I become the right hand of the Lord of Shadow.
You are mistaken, Midial. And time has come to pay for your mistakes. I am here to bring you before the judgment of Illuna.
Your goddess has no more power over me. I do not fear her judgment. As for you, you should not have stepped into my castle. Only death awaits you here. This is the place of my strength, where your tricks are powerless.
You are right. She should not be doing this alone.
Vibrations filled the surrounding world, and then the closest wall of the castle flew apart, revealing the Guardian of the Dark Forest. The oak majestically shifted into the castle courtyard, having wiped out several buildings in its path, and stopped by Elizabeth's side.
The time has come for you to answer for your sins.
There was a flash of lightning, and Ishni appeared next to the guardian. The unicorn bore no traces of her 10 years of imprisonment in the Castle of the Fallen. In a few hours, the guardian managed to fatten up the beastie, give her a good clean, and heal all her wounds. The only thing still clearly visible was the ring still encircling her horn.
I don't know if anyone else noticed, but the Deliverers of the Throne symbol we had is gone now. Is that normal?
Wrote Leidy.
I just have this gut feeling that we won't be getting any money out of all of this.
"How nice! The log with the pony," smiled Midyal. "Do you really think that you can beat me? Ha! And by the way, High Priestess, where did you learn to make a dome like that? I thought there was no defense from my servants. No matter. You have come to me yourselves, so now I won't need to roam around Barleona trying to catch you one by one. Die!"
Midyal uttered a few broken phrases, almost doubled in size, and a dark circling cloud appeared over him, with lightning repeatedly striking the priest's outstretched arms. A few moments went by, and the entire body of the 500-level NPC was lit up by shifting electric charges. Flashes of lightning, like wriggling worms, began to gather between the priest's hands, turning into a sphere swathed in moving, oily patches. There was a clap, and electrified shadows were flying in our direction. Once again, tarrying before the golden sphere, which expanded about 2 meters away from each player, the new phantoms swept it aside like a piece of fluff and moved on to finish us off, utterly defenseless as we were. Boom! Ding! Crack!
"What? This is impossible!" came the shout from the fallen priest when the electric shadows crashed into an off-blue dome.
A defense was once again put up around us, and, judging by Elizabeth's surprised look, this was not her doing.
"You were right, Harbinger, to call us here. The Emperor of Malabar, standing side by side with the Dark Lord of Cardas, leveled a heavy gaze at Midyal. Cornick, wearing the same rags in which he escaped from the torture room, leaning on his staff and limping with his left leg, which was twisted in an unnatural fashion, hobbled over to Ishni. The unicorn looked at the Harbinger. Its horn began to glow, and then the goblin's leg took back its original shape. "This sentient has completely lost any semblance to a human being, turning into a monster. Right now we have no way of discovering the reason why he changed, so we simply have to deal with the existing facts. Midyal has to be destroyed."
"Why go far looking for a reason?" A message from Klutzer appeared in clan chat. "A difficult childhood and wooden toys nailed to the floor."
"You will still fail,"
shouted Midyal as he started to send shadows in every direction.
"You will all perish, and I will become the sole ruler of Barleona."
"The boys had it," whispered Anastaria, when a dark sphere appeared around Midyal and immediately began to shrink. The shadows were unable to overcome the new barrier, bouncing off its walls and going into Midyal. When it touched the priest's body, the sphere stuck to him and repeated his silhouette. It reminded you of a vacuum bag for food storage, but with an NPC instead of a piece of fish or meat inside it.
"By the power given to me by the gods of light," uttered the Emperor as soon as the sphere stopped moving, "I strip this sentient of all magical powers and sentence him to eternal imprisonment at the center of the earth."
"By the power given to me by the dark gods," said the Dark Lord, "I strip this sentient—"
"By the power given to me by nature," added the Guardian, "I strip this sentient—"
"The sentence has been heard and confirmed,"
came a heavy, metallic voice, like from some antique robot that had just learned to speak and shouted something into a megaphone.
"The sentence will be carried out immediately!"
Midial's body curved, as if struck by an electric charge, and the dark sphere fell apart, freeing the priest. But straightaway, light began to shine out of his mouth, eyes, nose, hands, and feet, as if a million candles lit up inside him. With a silent scream, Midial was gradually turned into a bright star, was lifted up several meters in the air, and blew up in a spectacular firework.
The cleansing of the Dark Forest quest has been completed. Please contact the Guardian for your reward. The fallen priest Midial, who decided to turn the Dark Forest into a cursed one, has been forever expelled from this world. The quest has been completed by 100%. Reward: the second part of the Dark Forest Guardian's gift, if the first part is already in your possession, plus 500 reputation to all encountered factions, plus 40 to any main stat, plus 10 character levels. Quest: Restoration of a Holy Relic, Step 3. The Return of the Stone of Light has been completed. Please contact the High Priestess of Eluna for your reward. The fallen priest Midial has been expelled from this world. The quest chain has been completed by 100%. Reward for completing Step 3, plus 1 level, plus 500 to reputation with the Priestesses of Eluna, plus 100 to reputation with Goddess Eluna. Reward for quest chain, 6 flasks of living water, Eluna's Blessing, 3rd rank.
"That's that. One less enemy to worry about," said the Emperor, as soon as I finished reading the text. "You know, Mayan, I almost came to terms with the thought that Slate will become my son-in-law, and planned to make the announcement at the upcoming tournament, but you decided to send him to the Greylands. What will I say to Tisha when she asks how her betrothed is getting on?"
"Begging your pardon," said Anastaria, "but what you just said is very surprising. Slate stayed in the tent when we went to look at the castle, and he wasn't here when the battle started. First Eluna, then you. Can you please tell us why you believe him dead and Mayan to be responsible for his death?"
The Emperor looked at the girl for a few moments, waved his hand, and a projection of the extermination of the players appeared in the air.
"Ha ha ha!" Garenika's pleased laughter sounded through the forest. "When I finish training Mayan, you'll become my next apprentice. Go, get your loot." The Lord of Shadow turned to me and said, "You have the right kind of subordinates, apprentice. You shall all aid me in bringing the entire Barleona to its knees. Let us continue." The frozen players flew up into the air, slowly moving in the direction of the castle, so there was little else I could do except to keep striking left and right. A butcher shaman, sure as rain. The image gave a sudden jerk and sped into the depths of the dark forest. Everything was covered with the players' frozen bodies, which were slowly moving towards the castle. Now I could really see the amount of work I would have been stuck with if Garenika hadn't destroyed all the players who chose to carry out the Emperor's order. 40,000 characters took up a hell of a lot of space. My arm would have fallen off. The image once again jerked and quickly descended, and all of us saw our camp where we left Slate. Going through the walls of the tent, as if it was a veil of mist, we beheld the prince.
With a petrification debuff and glassy eyes, he hung above the ground, repeatedly hitting his head against the wall of the dwelling as he tried to get outside and fly up to the castle. After he hit himself 4 times, Slate backed off, preparing for a 5th, froze in the air, and disappeared without a trace, if you don't count a handful of gold coins that he received in the course of the trip raining down on the tent floor.
"But what has Mayan got to do with this?"
Anastaria couldn't help exclaiming as soon as the video stopped.
"Guernica was the one using the mass destruction spell."
"He had a choice," replied the Emperor. "Either to be sent for rebirth, or to the mines. This is what Mayan chose, and will therefore stand trial. Enough of this. Iluna herself decided to preside over the trial, because Mayan has transgressed against something sacred. The great Yalaninka was protected by everyone, even by the vampires and the berserkers. But now, the truth behind her death has been revealed to us. She was destroyed by a shaman who came from our time. Harbinger," the Emperor addressed Kornik, "release the elementals. It is time they went home. High Priestess, Lapyest and his warriors are on you. Bring them back under the wing of the faith. Guardian, destroy the castle. Raise it to the ground. Plant trees over it so that no memory remains of the fallen. Treachery should be rooted out without mercy. As for you," the Emperor turned towards my clan, "there's no place for you in the Malabar Empire. I'm very sorry, renowned one." The Emperor looked at Anastaria. "But you've made your choice when you refused to stop the traitor. You shall be allowed to return to Anhers and collect your belongings. After this, the Empire will be forever closed to you. I'm done here."
"Traitors who have ignored the Emperor's orders are not welcome in Cartus either," added the Dark Lord. "You may join the ranks of my armies, but only as ordinary soldiers, without any titles or privileges. You will have to prove yourself deserving of advancement. But the traitor himself will remain banned from Cartus." The Lord looked at me. "I hope you stay at the mines forever."
"Why did the chicken cross the forest?" came Barsina's profound statement. "If I only knew 2 weeks ago that I'll end up getting kicked out of everywhere."
"You are right, my son," said the Emperor after some thought. "Banishment is too lenient a punishment for these offenders. You may remain in the Empire." Nati looked at the stunned players, "but only as ordinary residents. Your reputation with all factions will be nullified, all your achievements erased, and all your first kills removed. Only then you could still count yourselves Malabar citizens. Everyone was due a reward for the cleansing of the Dark Forest and victory over Midial. Guardian and High Priestess, by the power bestowed on me by the gods of light, I abolish it. These sentients do not deserve to be rewarded."
"As you command, Your Majesty," Elizabeth bowed her head. "You hold no power over the Dark Forest, and the gods of light had helped me as much as those of darkness," said Ishni. "It doesn't matter what this sentient had done."
A green wreath appeared above my head.
but he saved my forest, freeing me and helping me to survive. He will receive a reward from the Guardian, and no emperor would dare hinder us in this.
You know, I'm beginning to like the fact that we failed to become the deliverers of the throne. Looks like this new emperor turned out to be one heck of a bastard.
Plinto summed up current developments.
Man, just make sure you get out of prison. The Freelands have very many dukedoms and earldoms. We can be independent. From what we've just seen, Guardians are easier to deal with than the Emperor and the Dark Lord. I just don't get one thing. Why come down on us with such extreme penalties?
It's simple, wrote Anastaria. Remember the discovery of the Undermountain Kingdom?
You think that...
I know it. That's it. Don't get in the way of enjoying the show. I don't remember when I've been brought quite so low. The main thing now would be not to crack. Mayan, I love you. Oops, I meant I'll kill you.
The Dark Forest is under your power, replied the Emperor, having come to some decision. If you believe them worthy of a reward, that is your choice.
Anastaria, approach me, said Ishni. It was only thanks to your advice that the Dark Forest had gained its freedom.
The Guardian's branches began to move, descending towards Anastaria, and a shining bastard sword appeared in the girl's hands.
Glaivandir, the legendary sister of Navendir, the sword of Commandant, said Ishni. Siren, you have done the impossible when you summoned Iluna, so you are worthy of the unbelievable. Barsina,
the unicorn turned to the druid,
approach me.
Calling up each member of the clan in turn, Ishni handed them their rewards, items that were in no way mentioned in the quest description. The Guardians handed everyone scabbards to go with the wooden daggers, and the players glowed brightly as they received the additional 10 levels. But when Plinto's turn came, for the first time I witnessed genuine surprise on his usually grinning face. Or rather, it went something like this. Ages ago, I watched some anime cartoons, which always had girls with huge eyes running around. Now I realized that those girls had unremarkable narrow slits compared to Plinto.
When 2 uniquely named knives were lowered into his hands, the rogue lost the power of speech. Looking in turn at the knives and at the Guardian, Plinto tried to thank him for such an impressive gift, but could only manage some hoarse grunting. If I got it right, some player got seriously lucky, and my rogue will be returning those looted legendary daggers to him.
Mayan, approach me.
It was now finally my turn to take part in the Guardian bonus time. As soon as I came up to the unicorn, the system asked me to choose one of the main stats into which to dump the additional 40 points. I picked intellect, waited for the light from the 10 new levels to stop blazing around me, and, waving away the message that I still had 390 unallocated stat points, looked at the silent Ishni. She started speaking to the other players straight away, but in my case... Or did it just seem that way if you were observing these things from outside?
Shaman, who went against everyone and everything, began the unicorn, but then again fell silent, carefully looking into my eyes. What was she trying to find in there?
Signs of intelligence?
I had once known your ancestors, and one of them was even my friend.
Wow, this hoofed beastie is pretty ancient. If she remembers dragons, she must be at least 10,000 years old.
Please give back the first earring. You are worthy of a better reward than this.
Now it was my turn to look like a cartoon character, in the sense of being a picture of wide-eyed surprise. Ishni is telling me to return the earring? This is entirely unheard of, in terms of how quests and scenarios are supposed to go. NPCs had no right to just take the already given reward off you. That only happened in the event of direct intervention of the corporation representatives. Does this mean that everything that's been happening in the Dark Forest has been closely monitored by specially trained administrators? Then I simply don't get why I'm being sent to the mines. The administrators could have intervened at any point and told me that from now on the scenario will develop without a shaman-shaped chief cook and bottle washer. It's not like they would set everything up just so that I went back to prison. I took the earring off and handed it to the unicorn. If I was being watched and certain actions were expected of me, there was little sense in digging in the heels. A small oak branch carefully lowered itself to my hand and absorbed the earring, and then slowly, as if it never sped away from me like a frightened little dog 2 weeks ago, returned to the guardian.
"Shaman," Ishni continued, "by combining my horn with the tear and the ring of Iluna, you created an object capable of destroying Garanika's dagger and saving an empire of your choice. I heard the Emperor's words and realize what kind of punishments await you and your people. You've saved me, so allow me to help you. Take my horn and give it to one of the emperors. Whatever transgressions you may have committed in the past, everything would be forgiven to the deliverers of the throne. Touch my horn, and it shall be yours."
"I knew it!" immediately came a message from Anastaria. "Everything that Nati was saying is part of the scenario. He wouldn't do anything bad to his saviors, and NPCs of his level don't keep grudges. Check and mate! Man, you did it!"
"If I take your horn, what will happen to you?"
I decided to ask, just in case, when my hand treacherously stretched to the coveted means of deliverance and glorification.
"Do you know what makes me different from the Emperor, the Dark Lord, or the Lord of Shadow? I know the truth. It is always apparent to me, instead of just being somewhere close by. I have no need to call on higher powers to find out some details of the past. Remember Yalaninka and her decision. If you take the horn, you will destroy me. But I am ready for that. To go to my rest, knowing that the Dark Forest would soon regain its former grandeur, would be a fitting recompense for all my efforts and sufferings. The Guardian will find a new heart. You will get the reward you deserve, and I will finally meet my ancestors. Go on, dragon. You deserve this prize."
man. I don't like your hesitation. Take the horn. It's about time we became heroes.
As usual, Anastaria was in her element. Rewards, glory, and honor. That's our stuff.
I agree, typed Plinto. If this was real, I would have given it some further thought. But this is a game. Don't forget that. Grab the horn and let's be off to Anhur's. The Dark Legion will still be in Malabar for a whole week, and I'd like a stab at hunting my former buddies.
Klutzer, Eric, and Leidy wrote similar messages, effectively handing the unicorn the death sentence. Only Barcina remained. I looked at her and saw that the druid had tears in her eyes. As she met my gaze, the girl very slightly shook her head, as if begging me not to do what everyone was expecting me to. Well, well, a mercenary who plays in order to earn a living is prepared to give it all up for some NPC. What is the world coming to? Thanks for the offer, I replied to the unicorn, achieving an incredible feat of willpower in pulling my hand away from the horn. But I don't like to destroy what I've worked so hard to achieve. It is, of course, an appealing course of action, to free the Emperor's throne and become a hero of the Empire. But who would heal the Dark Forest? Ishni, this is your task, and it's wrong to try and shift it onto the fragile branches of the Guardian. As soon as you restore everything to its former state, populate the forest with animals, destroy this cursed mist, and clear out the brambles, you can come and hand in that horn to me. But until then, you've got the wrong guy for that here. I didn't even look at the exploding clan chat, moving it to the periphery of my vision. Judging by the fact that Anastaria, who could keep her typing entirely unnoticeable before, is no longer trying to conceal the fact that Plinto is laughing like a madman, and my three officers are staring at yours truly with dropped jaws and uncomprehending eyes, chat doesn't contain anything useful or interesting. It's just as well that Anastaria has enough self-control to be silent, pouring all her efforts into writing messages. After all, I just destroyed everything that she had worked so hard to achieve in the last 12 years of the game. Reputation, first kills, attractiveness. Just a few moments ago, the great Anastaria became an ordinary player within the Sea Thistles clan. Admittedly, this would be enough to push any player over the edge, because I didn't expect Anastaria to opt for destroying the unicorn. Ishni spent some time looking at me, or rather, through me, as the imitator came to terms with the fact that it wasn't quite game over for it just yet. Finally, the NPC's gaze focused, and a smile appeared, if a horse's head could even have such an expression, on Ishni's nose.
I heard you, dragon, and will honor your decision. I will restore the Dark Forest and then come to you, and we will speak of the fate of the horn once again. But this will not happen earlier than in a few years' time. I will not be able to manage it any faster. Now, I have nothing to offer you as a reward. The earrings aren't enough, and the horn has turned out to be too much. I have nothing that would be of use to you. Except, possibly,
Ishni uttered the last phrase in a thoughtful voice, breaking off mid-sentence.
"Except possibly what?" I repeated, lifting my eyebrows and moving slightly forward, inviting the unicorn to finish her thought.
"You have two types of figures from the Carmondant chess set. This isn't a question, it's a statement. If, after the trial to which the Emperor referred, you shall not be destroyed..."
Character deletion for normal players, and minds until the end of the sentence for prisoners like myself.
"You must travel to one rather interesting place. It is being protected by powerful guardians. But should you be able to overcome them, at its very heart you will find a chest with precious stones. Although you shall receive them in a partly worked state, they would allow you to create the missing chess pieces."
"Game world maps updated. Your maps have been updated with the mark of the Scrooge dungeon. Mark number 3.
"Are you finished now?" asked the Emperor when Ishni fell silent and stepped back a few paces. "In that case, if no one else here wants to bestow gifts upon this sentient, I shall send him to the Pryke Mine, where he will stay until the trial, and the remaining Sea Thistle's clan, present here in its entirety, to Anhur's, to be kept under guard. Their fate will be decided later. That is all, and my decision will be carried out immediately." "Stop!"
There was a flash of dark lightning, and we saw the head of the Reardelox clan standing before us.
"I, too, have a couple of words for the free citizens present here."
"Patriarch?" asked the Emperor in surprise.
"I always thought that you were just an embellished bedtime story. Now it's clear how Plinto became a higher vampire. So, you finally found yourself a son. Do you not fear the prophecy?"
"I've lived for too long in this world to fear old wives' tales," smirked the vampire, showing his fangs. "I'm sure that my son will walk this path with honor."
"Your son will be stripped of everything," interjected the Dark Lord, now giving Plinto a somewhat appraising look. "Although Cartus can ensure that part of his former glory will be preserved if he chooses to become one of us."
"You interrupted me," said the Emperor,
switching the conversation back from the Plinto tangent.
"You must have a very substantial reason, otherwise I..."
"Otherwise you what?"
The Patriarch interrupted the Emperor again, pointedly raising his eyebrows.
"Your Majesty will turn up with an armed host in the Dark Forest, or send free citizens in for my head? We are of equal status, O short-lived one. Your several centuries will fly past me like a brief moment, and tomorrow I will no longer remember who Naughty was. What's the point of all this empty talk? I want to talk with my son and with Mayen. And not a single mortal will leave the Dark Forest until I do so."
"How dare you!" roared the Emperor, and immediately unleashed flashing lightning bolts from his hands.
The Patriarch chuckled when the lightning struck his body, and, instead of writhing in pain and begging for mercy, lightly waved his hand, interrupting the lightning and knocking the Emperor over.
"Father, you are overwhelmed with emotions, and they've clouded your mind,"
said the Dark Lord, as soon as the Emperor got back on his feet.
Regain your composure, as it befits a monarch, and you will see that the patriarch is within his rights now. The free lands do not belong to us. Here, guardians and beings such as him hold power here. He cannot go against the will of the gods, so you will take Mayan and his clan, but you can't hinder their conversation.
The Emperor spent a few moments looking angrily at the pleased vampire, and then bowed courteously and said,
"I thank the Patriarch for this lesson. On behalf of the Malabar Empire, please accept my apologies, and I hope that my ill-judged action will not affect your attitude to my subjects. Please, these sentients are now at your disposal."
The Emperor politely waved in our direction and took a few steps backwards. Only now did it occur to me to look at the attractiveness with each of those present, in view of the freshly docked reputation. The Emperor was at 0, even the minimum 20 points necessary for an NPC to regard you as a person and not a bad-smelling pile of something, was gone. The Dark Lord, 0. Same story. The Patriarch, 50. Not bad. He may even hand me a quest. Although, what am I on about? The Guardian, not available. All right, moving on. Ishni, 100. Ooh, the horsey likes me. At least someone isn't treating me like an enemy. Elizabeth, 100. What? Come again? The High Priestess's properties, attractiveness, 100 points. Don't get it. Does this mean that if I manage to make it to Beth, she could give me a quest? Sweet! And, most amazingly, I have no idea what I had to thank for such good fortune.
Son, the Patriarch spoke to Plinto first. Now you will be taken for the judgment of the extent of your guilt of the death of Yalaninka and Slate. But I know that the Emperor has no right to lock you up in prison. However, because you haven't yet been trained, the sun will kill you once you leave the Dark Forest. Take this cloak. Wearing it with its hood over your head will enable you to survive. Remember that you have a lot to learn, so I shall be expecting you back. Also, take this one-way portal scroll to my castle. Come back when you realize that there is nothing more to keep you in Annhurs.
Thank you, was Plinto's brief reply, as he hid the scroll in his bag and put the cloak over himself. I will be certain to come back.
Siren.
The Patriarch turned to Anastaria, who was perfectly calm now.
I would be glad to see you at my castle as soon as your fate is decided. Here's a portal scroll.
The Patriarch handed the scribbled means of instant transport to the girl.
If you feel you need to know more about your race than you can find out in the libraries of Malabar or Cartus, come to me. Trust me, I will be able to surprise you.
Right now, I was ready to give the vampire one huge hug, fangs and all. My dull gaze of a finished man, who had withdrawn deeply within himself, had now changed to the inquisitive and lively look, ubiquitous throughout Barleona, indicating readiness to seek out an advantage even in apparently hopeless situations.
Barsina.
The Patriarch made a similar offer to visit his castle to my entire clan, leaving me, as usual, for the last.
Mayen. The vampire flashed a smile as he stood opposite me. I will not be inviting you, because I know